Welcome to the second lecture about key elements of effective communication. Most of the material in this presentation has been adapted from the book Health Communication, Strategies for Health Professionals by Northaus and Northaus. In the first lecture on effective communication, we defined communication and identified communication models. We also identified key communication assumptions and four key variables. In this lecture, we will focus on nonverbal communication. By the end of this lecture, learners will be able to define what nonverbal communication is and describe how nonverbal communication functions in the human communication process. In addition, learners will be able to describe specific dimensions and give examples of nonverbal communication. Northaus and Northaus refer to nonverbal communication as a means of communicating that does not use words. Body language is a nonverbal communication, as is touch and the use of space. Nonverbal communication can also be vocalizations other than words. You are probably thinking, if it's nonverbal, how can it be vocal? Examples of vocal communication would be a scream, clearing your throat, a sigh, a groan, or even a whistle. Nonvocal examples can also include gaze, frowning, raised eyebrows, and can be intentional or unintentional. Nonverbal communication is very important. Northaus and Northaus described a study that found that up to 93% of communication effectiveness is determined by nonverbal cues. Aligning your verbal and nonverbal communication is also important, since the message receiver will be confused if the message sender verbalizes one meaning and with nonverbal cues suggests a different meaning. According to Northaus and Northaus, individuals in an interaction use nonverbal communication as an additional means of information exchange. Nonverbal communication can help share emotions, support or contradict the verbal message, and help validate self-image and relationships. One of the most important functions of nonverbal communication is it reinforces the expression of feelings and emotions. Like other professionals, healthcare professionals use the nonverbal expression of feelings and emotions to convey aspects of their inner state to others without having to use words. For example, when a health IT trainer is interacting with a clinician who is anxious about using the computer, a warm smile and calm body language might serve to communicate empathy and competence in a stressful situation. On the other hand, a scowl might communicate frustration or anger, even when the spoken words do not indicate frustration or anger. A second function of nonverbal communication is that of shifting the flow of messages between people. In other words, this serves to regulate the flow of messages between people. Through nonverbal communication, the conversation may end, shift in a different direction, or become more focused on one aspect. An example of this would be a clinician that continues to look at his or her watch while a health IT professional is explaining how to use a particular software program. This would indicate to the health IT professional that the interaction should be concluding or that the clinician has no more time to devote to the conversation. Similarly, health IT professionals need to be conscious of their own nonverbal communication so that they do not convey that they are impatient with the clinician they are trying to assist. The third function of nonverbal communication is maintaining one's self-image. Stated another way, we tend to act in accordance with who we believe we are or how we typically act in a given situation. Through nonverbal communication, individuals will confirm relationships. For example, a supervisor may always use specific nonverbal cues whenever a subordinate is in a conversation. Similarly, the same individual may have very different nonverbal cues when directly speaking with their supervisor. In the next set of slides, we will identify 5 categories of nonverbal communication. As described by Northouse and Northouse, there are 5 categories of nonverbal communication. They are kinesics, proxemics, paralinguistics, touch, and environmental and physical factors. Let's begin with kinesics. Kinesics is the study of physical movement as a form of communication. Components of kinesics include gestures, facial expressions, and gazes. Kinesics is the study of physical movement used in communication. For example, components of kinesics can include symbols or gestures, such as pointing one's index finger in the air to signify "I am" or "my team is number one." Other examples include nodding one's head side to side or back and forth, facial movement, etc. A key distinction here is movement. Facial expressions can be a smile, frown, raised eyebrow, wrinkled forehead, open mouth, yawn, etc. Facial expressions often change during an interaction. Gaze is a subcomponent of facial expression and plays a major role in effective communication. Northouse and Northouse described research studies that suggest that direct eye contact is between 50 to 60% of the time in one-on-one conversations. The average time of a single gaze is 3 seconds, where mutual gazes occur around 2 seconds. Gazes longer than that are not effective in the professional setting. Remember, good eye contact in a professional setting does not require lengthy gazes. In fact, lengthy gazes may be interpreted as staring or aggressive behavior. The second category of nonverbal communication, proxemics, refers to how people use and move in the space around them. Northouse and Northouse categorize space in 4 ways: intimate space, personal space, social space, and public space. Personal space includes surroundings and is important as it provides one with a sense of own identity, territory, and control. For example, in many families, a parent or guardian will have his or her favorite chair at the family table or a defined parking space in the garage. The use of distance between communicators is also a component of proxemics. Northouse and Northouse describe data from the book The Hidden Dimension by E.T. Hall. The research found that personal space ranges from 1.5 to 2.5 feet between individuals. This is the common distance between friends or loved ones. Note that space differs by culture. We address the cultural aspects of communication in a later unit. In contrast, social distance in communication is between 4 to 12 feet apart. This is the distance commonly used in work settings. In public settings, distance between individuals ranges from 12 to 25 feet. Paralinguistics refers to the vocal sounds that can serve to add further meaning to the spoken word. According to Northouse and Northouse, there are 3 components of paralinguistics. The first, intensity, is considered the power component, referring to the loudness or softness of the communication. It can be thought of as the volume level that one speaks, which can increase or decrease during a conversation. The second, pitch height, refers to how high or low the voice is. Musical examples are bass singers at one end and sopranos at the opposite end. Variations in tone refer to changing pitch height. The fourth category of nonverbal communication is touch. Touch can take many forms and elicit a variety of meanings. Touch is primarily associated with personal friends and loved ones. Aside from a handshake, touch is not widely used in Western society, so should not be used in the professional work setting. Environmental factors affiliated with nonverbal communication can include lighting, constant or intermittent noise, color of surroundings, and furniture placement. Northouse and Northouse summarize that a person's perceptions of the environment can suggest feelings of formality, warmth, privacy, constraint, distance, and familiarity. Now let's put your new knowledge about nonverbal communication to the test. Consider how nonverbal communication can sometimes be at odds with verbal communication. Juan works for the IT department of a mid-size hospital and has recently assumed the coveted yet stressful position as the project manager, implementing wireless point-of-care or POC devices. He meets with the hospital executive team each Friday to report on progress. At the meeting, Juan represents information that indicates the project is going well. His nonverbal communication is saying something very different, however. He seems to be slightly shaking his head no. In addition, he's not making eye contact with any of the executive team members. What do you think the team will believe is happening to the project? Most likely, the team will wonder what problems Juan is not discussing. In summary, in this lecture, we defined nonverbal communication and identified the significant role it plays in effective communication. In addition, dimensions of nonverbal communication were presented, and examples of nonverbal communication were given.